Hey, we are talking about this, continuing the series that we started last week called Intersection, and it's unpacking this idea that God places people in our path for a purpose, that we can be unaware of what's going on around us. And I shared a story last week of how I met my wife and didn't even know it when she was 8 years old and I was 9 years old, and we spent a week at a camp and we just kind of intersected and didn't even realize. And sometimes we come in contact with people that we don't even realize. We don't even realize what's going on there, that there's something more. I was thinking about different times in my life when I had this happen, and I share the story about me and my wife, but I was remembering it was a couple of years ago, and I had taken my car in to get an oil change, and I was sitting at the dealership there, and it was only me and one other guy in the waiting room there, and so it was just sitting there and, you know, enjoying the bad coffee that they have at car dealerships and that kind of stuff, and so there's nothing really to do, and the TV was showing some dumb game show that neither one of us were interested in. So I started talking to this guy, and he was a big guy, and I mean big guy. And so we were talking and just, you know, talking about the weather and talking about cars and talking about, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And I was sitting there for probably, oh, a half hour, 45 minutes or so, and, you know, talking with this guy, and I said, man, you know, do you work out? And he's like, oh, yeah, a little bit, you know, because he was just big, really big. And I said, well, so do I, you know. And I was giving him a few tips, you know, and he was laughing. We were just joking. And they said, you know, your car's ready. And so I said, oh, thanks, you know, good to meet you, have a great day, you know, so long. And it was just a good conversation, just fun. And so I was going and getting my car, the dealer guy, he said, man, did you get an autograph? I'm like, what? He goes, you know who you were sitting next to? I said, no clue. He goes, that was Gilbert Brown. Gilbert? Now, some of you still don't know who Gilbert Brown is, but Gilbert Brown, now you understand, plays for the Packers, and you understand now what I say, he was a big, big boy. He was a big, big boy. They named the Gilbert Brown sandwich after him, and I think that's the one that has like four patties and is like, you know, the calorie counts and scientific notation. But I had no idea. We were just talking. We were just, you know, talking about the weather and life. No idea what was going on. And this concept, this idea that we're unpacking here of how God places people in our path for a purpose, that maybe there are things going on that we don't realize. And so if we understand and begin to get a hold of this, that if God is placing people in my path, then you know what? I really need to know who these people are, and I need to know what I need to be doing. That if God is doing something that I've missed, that if God is providing intersections, God is placing people in my life for a reason, I need to be aware of who these people are, and I need to be aware of my role in doing what God placed me there to do. And the problem is that most of us are totally unaware of what God's doing in other people's lives. And if we do stumble upon somebody that has a hunger for God, most of us just kind of kick back and start to pray that God will send somebody to help reach that person, or God will send someone to help them discover what they're hungry for. Or many just get up and just pick up the Bible and start swinging it like a weapon and end up doing more damage than good. And then walk away feeling that somehow we have truly done what God has called us to do, and it was just their fault, you know, that they didn't just, you know, fall upon their face and, you know, cry out to God, while we were just totally clueless of what's going on. And as a result of all these bad examples, all this pressure and all this stuff that's happening in a negative way, personal evangelism and sharing our faith has become something that we know we ought to do, but we don't like to do. Something we know that we need to do. It's part of being a follower of Christ, but it's not something that we really get excited about. I mean, we act like we're excited about it. We talk maybe like we're excited about it, but in truth, we're either afraid or hesitant, or just don't want to, because of all of the negative examples maybe that we've received from others, or we've tried and failed miserably. And so as a defense mechanism, many of us kind of in our mind, build this perfect scenario of what someone looks like who wants more of God, who's hungry for God, and what kind of situation that would be. And then we wait until that happens. We wait until everything aligns and whatever your scenario is that, you know, someone would come in and say, oh, you know, I was walking down the street and God spoke to me and he said, go and talk to Todd and he's going to tell you what you need to do to be saved. And I'm here and what do I need to do? And we're thinking, well, God, if you're reaching, that's what I need to see. Now, maybe not that extreme, but for many of us, for most of us, we're waiting for it to all perfectly happen. And that they would initiate the conversation and that we would know exactly what to say and all of these things to align. And here's the problem. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. In fact, most of us, the way that we do evangelism is totally wrong. We're totally wrong about the people. We're totally wrong about how we go about it. And the good news or bad news, depending upon your position, is the way that you're doing evangelism is just not going to work. So knock it off. In fact, just turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them, just knock it off, will you? It isn't working. It isn't working. And so this series that we're talking about is about getting it right. Because, look, when it comes to sharing our faith, it's not about church, it's not about rules, it's not about religion, it's not about how much you know, it's not about how good you are at presenting, it's not about how smart you are in presenting a point, none of that matters, but it's important because of what's at stake. That God says, I am trying to show love to someone who needs it so desperately, and I need you to demonstrate that. It's important because God is saying, I am trying to rebuild a life that is broken, and I need you there as part of that process. I am trying to bless. I am trying to restore. I am trying to heal. I am trying to save somebody that is lost, and I've placed you right where you need to be at this intersection so that you can be my representative. You can do exactly what I've called and created you to do so that my purpose can be fulfilled. And that's what this series is all about. And so we started last week by focusing on this story in the book of Acts, where it's one of the first accounts where we see a person-to-person sharing of the gospel. And up until this time, it's just been preached in masses and people would respond in 3,000 and 2,000 and multitudes we see throughout the book of Acts. But this is one of the first times where one person shares it with another. And we're following the story of Philip, somebody that knew God, walked with Christ, was called to an intersection and had this encounter with this man from Ethiopia. From this eunuch from Ethiopia. And so from last week, we discovered one really important thing, that the first step in evangelism, we can put this next slide up, the first step in evangelism is to go and listen. Listen. That the first step in evangelism is to go and shut your mouth. It's not to go in and preach. It's not to go in and quote Bible verses and throw, you know, Bible bombs over at them. It's not to condemn. It's not to tell them how great your life is. No, the first step in evangelism is just go and listen. And here's what I really hope we understand, that throughout this series, that we begin to see that the problems in us sharing our faith isn't that faith isn't relevant. It isn't that people aren't hungry for God. And it isn't that God is any less powerful. The problems for most of us is we're doing it totally wrong. That we're not following the examples that we see in Scripture. We're following somebody else's model that we've heard along the way and buying into some concept that we've heard along the way. And the problem is it steps outside of what Scripture teaches and it doesn't work. And what we begin to see as we go through this series is that in our own life and in others' lives, that you can see where God was shared and there was a response and there was the miracle that God wanted to perform, that it was done this way. And so we said that we go and we listen. We go and we begin to listen for evidences of hunger. That there are things and situations where God is working, that if we would just lessen ourselves, we would begin to hear that, wait a second, there is something going on that I wasn't aware of. And as we do, we begin to discover one very important thing, that God is reaching all kinds of people. That God is reaching people that I would discount and say, God would never reach them. There's too many reasons. That they don't fit our mold, that they don't fit our situation. But we're seeing that God is doing and God is reaching. And maybe for most of us, we've just been totally unaware. So last week, we challenged you to just do this. Go and listen. It's the easiest step for evangelism. We want you to go and share your faith, and we want you to just go and not talk about it. And hopefully for most of us, we say, I can do that. You know, I can do that. But that's the first step. We got to get the first step. And the cool thing is I have heard all kinds of stories coming back this week of people coming to me and saying, hey, you know what? I actually went and did what the Bible said to do. And you know what I discovered? Is that I work with people that are really hungry for God, and I never knew it. I work around people that have situations in their life where it's so evident that God is trying to get their attention, and I was totally clueless. That I was trying to think that I needed to go in with my big mouth and talk and try to convince them or you know, impress them. But when I just shut my mouth and began to be sensitive to what God was doing, I began to discover that God was doing something. So we said, just go and listen. We were looking for just three things. What are some questions that people have that they can't answer? What are some situations that are outside of their control? And where is their emptiness that they're just desperately trying to fill? And the amazing thing is that these things that I heard back were all from the same kind of questions, yet manifested in different ways. That people had situations in their marriage, people had situations within their job, people had addictions that they were trying to fulfill in all kinds of ways. And when we begin to stop and listen as we're obedient to what God teaches us to do, we become aware that God is working and that we are placed right where we're at. Around people that God is reaching, and God says, I've placed you here on purpose because there's people in your life that you know that I've allowed to cross your path, and I need you to do something. And so we did that last week, and so we're going to continue. Now, let me also warn you, as I did last week, that as we look at these steps can seem backward. They can seem very, very different from maybe the way that you figure evangelism should be or were taught or just assume that it should be. But I ask you to just stop, and before we start pushing back too hard, allow God's word to speak, and let's look together in wisdom what God's word say, and then also in our own life, and don't allow the traditions of evangelism to override the truth of what evangelism is. Because what we're going to discover is that sharing your faith is really simple and easy when we follow the steps. And it's really hard, and we end up making a mess of it when we don't. Right? So here we go. We are going to start with the verse that we started with last time, and we'll kind of track back through and get everybody on the same page. Acts chapter 8. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, and this is the words that we hope that God says to many of us during the winter months, go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Next verse. And so he started out. Again, no arguing, no pushback. God says, go. He understands it. He went, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a very, very rich, very powerful, very in charge person, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, again, queen of Ethiopia. Hold right there for a second, because from the perspective that we see a guy that is very powerful, that is very wealthy, that has a lot of authority. And for many of us, when we see somebody in that position, we say, well, they don't need God. There's no hunger there because they have life perfect. Everything is going for them. Everything is going well. And again, we look to Scripture, we begin to see, and God deals with the very issues with the that we deal with today. From the outset, he looks very powerful. Now, Philip's perspective sees even more reasons why this person should be discounted. Not only is he rich and powerful, now does he only need anything from a material standpoint, but there are things in his life that would keep him out of worshiping. It says here that he's a eunuch. And we talked about this last week. A eunuch is someone that was castrated because they worked with either a female ruler or were in a place of power, and they just removed all potential issues of sexual impropriety, or removed a lot of the issues for overtaking the throne, because if you can't have children, then there's no lineage, and it takes away a lot of the reasons. But again, from a Jewish standpoint, this practice was so detestable that someone who had this wasn't allowed in the temple. They weren't allowed to worship. And so Philip, looking at this situation, sees somebody that is very rich, he's very powerful, somebody that comes from a different land. He's not Jewish up until this time. It was all about Jewish people. And he sees someone that's not even allowed in church. So from the outset, it says, I have all kinds of reasons from my perspective why God shouldn't reach this person. But look at what happens. Next verse. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. There was something more going on there. There's a hunger. It says, even though I can't go to the temple, I'll have to stand outside. There's something going on that isn't evident when you just look at me from the outside. Next verse. And he was returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Very costly. Scrolls very rare during that time. He paid a price. There's a hunger here. There's a hunger here. Look at this next verse. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over, walk along beside the carriage. Get your life beside his. Spend time and listen. Next verse. Look at this. And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And this is where we stopped last week, because the Holy Spirit said, look, I want you to go and just don't go tackle him. Don't go and pound him over the head with the scroll. I want you to go in and be aware of what's going on. Go and listen. And that's what we've been doing. And when we do what God says to do, God uncovers what he's doing. When we're obedient, God shows up as God. And so Philip went over, he began to listen, and he began to hear him reading. And this is where we pick up today. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? Do you know what you're reading? I mean, I'm spending some time just kind of walking along beside you, and I'm hearing that there is a hunger. Now, from the outside, I wouldn't assume that this is what you would be reading. From the outset, this isn't what I assumed to hear. But when I got close, I began to hear that there is a hunger and a sensitivity for something that you don't have. There is a hunger and a longing for something that you don't have. Now, in the next couple verses, we begin to hear what he was reading. Go to this next screen. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And this is what Philip heard this man, who didn't look like this would be anybody that God was reaching. He began to hear, there is something going on. There's a situation here. There is a hunger here. Look at this next passage. The man replied, again, to Philip's question, do you understand what you're doing? He says, how can I? Unless somebody instructs me. How can I understand this? See, I'm reading this, and I've got something that's outside of my control. I don't understand what's going on. I'm reading this and I don't get it. I have a need. I have a need for help. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody that can teach me. I need somebody who can step up and help me in this need. I'm going through this. There's a need. Will you help me? Will you help me? Now, what this Ethiopian eunuch was saying when Philip began to listen is the very same thing that we hear when we begin to listen. That as we come close to people's lives and we begin to listen as God would lead us, we begin to see that what they're saying is this situation in my life, that's evidence of a hunger for something more. It may be very different than what you were expecting. It may be very different than what you would assume someone did, but it's evidence as you get close and God leads that this evidence, this situation, this evidence of my hunger is an opportunity for you to help me. Will you help me? Philip, walking beside this man, this man's reading. He says, I don't understand it. Do you understand it? Can you help me? And what we don't see happen is Philip doesn't go, hang on, man, that's great that you want to know more. I'll tell you about it. Let me just stop and I'm going to pray that God sends somebody that can help you understand this. I'm going to pray that God just opens up the door and allows somebody to come into your life. No, we don't see that. We don't see that. We don't see Philip standing up and says, well, the problem is you got one of the Old Testament scrolls. You need one of these New Testament scrolls. I mean, you're reading the old stuff. Man, you need Jesus. Forget this Isaiah stuff. Let me tell you. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't discount in any way. There is a need, an immediate need at the point where there is a hunger, and Philip steps up and just begins to help. He begins to serve. And so we get to the second step of what evangelism is all about. The first step is go and listen. The second step is go and serve. Not preach. Not quote, not beat him over the head, not point out flaws. Go and listen, and as God uncovers the situation that there is a need or a hunger, we step up and we say, how can I help? How can I serve? What can I do to help you? It looks like this, and we've seen situations in my life and others that I know that with a guy, somebody's telling me he was working with an individual and just really felt that God was leading him to him and began to listen. And as he began to listen, he began to hear the story of how his wife had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and how they were going to need to make some changes within their home to help facilitate some of the medical equipment and some of the stuff that was going on. And so this individual went to this guy. He says, I tell you what, you got to make some changes. You got to do some stuff. He goes, when can I show up to help you move some of the furniture? When can I show up to help you? I know you got to take out a door and you got to bust a wall out here to get some of this stuff through. Tell you what, I'll show up. I'll bring some of my tools and I can help carry stuff out. What can I do to help? Just tell me where I need to be. I will be there and begin to help you at your point of need. That's what it looks like. It's the couple that as you begin to listen, realize that they're having all kinds of marital problems and that they have kids and it's a stress and everything is blown out of shape and it just either begin to talk about it and you begin to listen and you begin to become aware of it and you go up to them and say, tell you know what, why don't you just bring your kids over to our house? We'll watch them for the night. You guys go out, you guys take the night. In fact, you know what, we'll take the kids for the weekend. You guys go out, spend some time together. What can I do to help? What can I do to serve? Not to preach, but see, I came along beside you and I began to hear that there is a real need that I wasn't aware of. And so how can I help? How can I serve? A friend of mine that I worked with, good guy on the outside, had everything going together, you know, just smart kid, you know, married, you know, everything going well there. But I just really felt a burden for his life. And one day he came in, he was talking, he said, man, it's a tough weekend. I'm like, really, what's going on? He said, yeah. He says, you know, we live in this group of houses, and the house burnt down on the end, and it kind of moved over, and they came in, and our house got a little, you know, got all the smoke came into the house, and, you know, they were hosing everything down. He says, man, it is a mess. It's just, our house is just a mess. So I looked at him. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray that somebody just shows up that can help you. I'm going to pray that something happens, that some people just show up that are able to assist you in all kinds of things. I'm going to do that for you. I'm just going to really pray that God sends somebody. No, I didn't do that. In fact, in that case, prayer would have been the absolute worst thing I could have done. What he needed was somebody to help. So I said, I tell you what, after work and for the next couple of days, how about I just show you up and help you clean out all the junk that's ruined? What? Like, yeah, I know how to put stuff in the trash. I'm pretty good at that. I got lots of practice in that. It's something I'm able to do. You do that? Yeah, do that. You need help? Yeah. But you'd come over and help me? Yeah. What can I do? This is what it looks like. I listened, and I found an opportunity that there's a hunger. How can I help? How can I serve? Now, there are those that would say, that's not really the issue. Yes, his house burnt, but what he really needs is Jesus. You know what? It's easy to sound holy when actually you're just lazy. Right? It's easy to sound very focused on good spiritual things when the truth is you just don't want to do anything because you're lazy. I'd rather sit back and pray that God would save your soul because your house burnt and you think about that fire. See, here's the deal. Hang on, I'm going to talk about something here because this is truth here. That more damage is done when we skip this step than any other time in our witnessing. Because when someone steps up that doesn't have a clue what is going on in your life, that doesn't care enough to even get involved, but what's to stand up and tell you all of the things that you're doing wrong and all of the things that you need to change. But when it comes to them getting involved in your life and getting their hands dirty with you, don't want to do that. You know what that does? That just creates a mess. That is what so many assume that Christians are all about and what sharing your faith is all about. But we miss it. It's not what it is. That the Bible tells us, you know what? Go and shut your mouth. Go and listen. And when there is a need that becomes available, go serve. Go work. Go help. Go get involved. This is what evangelism is all about. Go and listen. Go and serve, because there is something amazing that happens when we humble ourselves to serve someone else. Let's go to this verse again, and we begin to see something here. Then the man replied, how can I unless somebody helps me? And he urged Philip, look at this, come up into the carriage and sit right beside me. You see, you were walking along beside me. You start off on the side of the road, and you kind of came up, and we were just kind of walking along the same road. But when you're willing to help me, the walls begin to drop. When you're willing to get in and help me and invest in me, the things that I would hold up or the walls that I would begin to build or the hesitancy that I might have begins to drop, and I begin to invite you to get closer. I begin to invite you in. I begin to open up, and there is a trust and an intimacy that is built not based on your knowledge, not based on that you can quote scripture, not based on all how holy you look or are, or all of the things that we assume are spiritual. No, what happens is the walls begin to drop, trust begins to be built, intimacy begins to be built when we step up and we begin to serve. We serve. What can I do to help? And there's an invitation. Come closer. Come on in. The talk changes. The conversation changes. The questions change. Why? Because you're working along beside me. You've stepped out of what I assume Christianity is all about, and you are helping. And see, when we began to understand the process here, that we listen and that we serve, but that's not the end. That's the beginning of how God works and how God changes. That we begin to see it's from this point that God begins to take over. I want you to look at this next verse because it's so powerful. So beginning with this same scripture, beginning where the problem was, beginning where there was a question, beginning where there was an opportunity to say, can you help me? Philip told him the good news about who? Jesus. About Jesus. And see, when I start where there's a need, where I start to say, how can I help? There is a progression that begins that will lead them to what they really need. Yeah, I'll come and help you move furniture. Yeah, I'll come and help with your kids. Yeah, I'll come and help take out trash. Yeah, I'll come and help. I'll come and help. I'll come and help. Because I know that when I am helping you, that it is leading to what you really need. And when we begin to understand this, it begins to put things into perspective. Because there are those that says, well, we just need to just go and feed the hungry. And there's nothing wrong with feeding the hungry. There are those that say, well, we just need to go reach the lost. Absolutely. There are some that just says, well, we just need to go and be a service church. Go in and serve people. Where are their help and where are their needs? Absolutely. And there are those that say, well, we just need to preach the gospel and just, you know, let society take care of it. It's part of the same process. But we can't stop in the process. That when there is a listening and a serving, that the intention is saving. That I am listening and I am serving because God is trying to save you. That I am taking step one and step two because I know there's a step three. That I don't want to be satisfied with just coming in and explaining the scripture. That it doesn't say that Philip says, well, here's what Isaiah meant, and then hopped off. But there's a process that it all works together. And I'm just starting to really trying to get this and understand this, because when we do, it begins to make sense of a whole lot of things. Look at what Jesus is saying in Matthew. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. I mean, you know, people in power these days, man, they're all about power. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them, meaning that bosses, they just like being a boss, and people in charge like being in charge. But look what he says. But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, just pause right here on the screen, must be your servant. In the King James, it says, whoever wants to be first, be last. Now, too often we take this verse and we misquote it. We think it's all about permissions and we think it's all about, you know, allowing somebody to go first in line. He is talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about salvation. Throughout this whole chapter, he's talking about what God's will is, that God's will is come to seek and to save the lost. And he says, look, that who you want to be first? Go and serve. Why? Because that's how it's done. That the people that are serving others are going to be first in my kingdom. You know why? Because they're getting the job done. It's not that those that are willing to, you know, little themselves, God's going to say, oh, you humble person, you, because you allowed everybody else to walk all over you, therefore I'm going to raise you up. Not about that at all. It's not God being impressed with your humility or God being impressed with your willingness to go and help others. He is saying this, that first in my kingdom, the one that is doing what's important to me, reaching others, you need to understand this, that the first are those that serve others, because that's how it's done. That God says there's somebody that's serving other people. It's important because they're reaching other people. You want to be first? You want to be first in God's eye? Want to be God to be pleased with you? Then go reach other people. And we do it by serving. He goes on. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Go and serve someone. Go listen. Go serve. Look at this. For even the Son of Man came not to be served. Remember I was talking about all of how the people in leadership like to lord it over and those in power like to promote. The most powerful one ever didn't even come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That he came and served. It's the model. You see, the same way that God says, I want you to go and listen, and then I want you to go walk beside him. Jesus, God robed in flesh, says that I'm going to model it for you because I'm a big God out here everywhere. But for me to reach someone, I need to come walk beside you. I need to come and serve. That he didn't come and just said, I'm king of the world, worship me. He says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to wash the feet of the one that would betray me. Yeah. I'm going to humble myself, not to just show you how in control I am over my pride. No. Because that's how you reach people. Because when you come and you walk alongside and you hear and you serve, the walls drop, trust builds, that there is an intimacy that is built when someone is willing to follow the model of Christ and says, hey, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And see, from the very beginning, this is how God created you. That you're where you're at on purpose. That you're created the way you are for a reason. And before we look at God and say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. See, again, God places us perfectly there. You need to understand something. That when we look at the life of Philip, the first time we're introduced to him, he is introduced as a perfect model of a young Jewish boy. Which means, you know what? He studied Isaiah. He could probably quote Isaiah. He went to school learning about Isaiah. That he had everything that was needed. That he walked up and heard him reading from Isaiah. And he's probably, I know that passage. I'll just quote alongside him. He had exactly what was needed. And the other side, he knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He was there on the day of Pentecost. He had everything that was needed for that situation that God says, I want you to go to that intersection because I'm going to send somebody into your life for a purpose. In the same way, God has made you perfectly equipped to do everything that's needed for the people he's sending into your life for a purpose. Look at this next verse. This is so beautiful. It gives us hope. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives, how? In helping others. Why? Because, well, there's a lot of people that need help. No, there's a lot of people that need God. Amen. Amen. And God uses situations and needs. God uses problems and all kinds of things that could come around us that he says, you're there for a purpose. If you listen, you're going to hear it. And if you're willing and say, what can I do to help? You're going to get invited in, and there's a trust and an intimacy into what I'm trying to do. So, who have we allowed in our life to pass by, assuming that God isn't trying to reach them? We talked about this last week. Who in our life, we said, well, they don't fit the model, they don't look the part, they're too extreme, they're too far, they're too whatever, that we've missed it. And for those that spent last week and actually did and put this into practice, who is God making you aware of some needs and some opportunities and some situations in your life that as the Spirit leads, you become evident, wait a second, this is a God thing. There's a hunger going on there. There's something going on underneath the surface. And here's the question. What can you do to go and serve? What can you do to help? Not to preach, not to go and quote verses, not to go and get your big Bible out, you know, with the backpack straps, you know, that you carry around and just coming in and swinging that baby around. It's a sword taking somebody's head off today. No. Where can you go and say, hey, I heard you talking, you know, man, I've been listening and you've been talking to me, and what can I do to help? What can I do to make a difference? That we begin to serve. Now, here's a couple things to be aware of, just very, very real. Because to most people, when those words are said, they're not meant. I mean, we do this all the time. It's a habit thing. It's a word thing. When we come to church, we say, hey, how you doing? Well, you really don't care how they're doing. I mean, honestly, because if they really told you, you would like, oh my goodness, you know, I just meant how you doing. I didn't mean how you doing. I mean, it's like, that's just what we say, you know? And in our society, don't act like you're so holy. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there are things that we just say. And when somebody says, hey, what can I do to help? The first response is going to be nothing. Hey, just we're fine. Because in most cases, when that's said, it's not meant. So you know what that means? That means that we may have to just push a little bit and say, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll show up or I'll help. Or we take that next step as God leads us to say, look, there's a need. I really mean it. What can I do to help? Not because I have some ulterior motive, but because I understand that there's a need and what can I do? Now, all kinds of things are going to happen. One, they're going to like, what is... You selling something, you know? No. There's this, and then when they see that you just show up and you begin to help, what you begin to see is the walls begin to drop, trust begins to be built, intimacy begins to happen, and a conversation on a totally different level begins to happen as we serve and work alongside them. Worked for a lady, alongside of a lady, and one day she came up to me and she said, what is different about you? And I said, probably a whole lot. She said, yeah, you got a couple of days? Because we could start listing all kinds of crazy stuff. She said, no. She said, there's something really different about you. She goes, now, she knew what church I went to. She goes, I know people of that faith, and you're nothing like them. I'm like, should I say thank you or should I run? You know, where are you going? She said, no. She said, I had family that was involved in a similar church. She said, you are nothing like them. What is different about you? I want you to tell me. I want you to share with me. For many of us, that would be the perfect situation. That's what I've been praying for, somebody to come up and say that. But you know when that conversation happened? You see, she was a little more elderly lady, and she had fallen. She had broke her ankle, and we were moving buildings. And I said, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. I will move your office for you. I'll move all your stuff. You're hobbling around here. She's like, I said, no, don't worry about it. You just tell me where I want to go. I'll show up on Saturday. I'll pack all your stuff up. You just point me. I'll move it for you. Really? Yeah, you're hobbling around. You're my friend. What can I do to help? Showed up on that Saturday, packed all her stuff up, took it over to the new building. I'm setting it up. I'm hanging pictures on her wall, putting stuff away. It was heavy. She had a lot of books. It wasn't easy. It was work. But it was after that that she said what she did. Why? Because I was quoting scriptures as I was putting her books away. So I was pointing out all of her sins as I was putting each little thing away, each time hammering in the nail. You know that Jesus was nailed to a cross just like this. No. Okay, I'm going to say something, but please understand what I'm saying. We think that we have made sharing our faith so much more spiritual than it needs to be. And don't take that wrong, because it is the most spiritual thing. But the problem is we have eliminated the truth and just the humanity of it. They just go and listen to what's going on in their life. Care. And then when there's a need, say, what can I do to help? Get involved. That we want to reach people like snipers. Right? I'm going to stand way back, you know, and I'll shoot the Jesus bullet from way away, but don't let me get involved close. I'm more of a distance witnesser. And we wish that was a category, because we'd sign up for that. You mean I can just text somebody anonymously and just tell them they need Jesus and be done with it? Hey, sign me up. I'm all for that. But you mean I need to go help? I need to go work? I need to go and listen? Yeah. Because here's what I want us to understand. Look at who made a difference in your life. Look who had an effect in your life. You know what? Bet you they did this. That they began to actually listen to what was going on in your life, and you felt, here's somebody that actually cares. Here's somebody that actually gives a rip about my life and what I'm going through. And maybe it was evident, or maybe evident now, that they began to help. Not help fix your life, but help where there was a need, that they got involved. And maybe, you know, you were sick and they brought soup, or you were moving and they showed up, or whatever it is. They began to get involved and you began to look at them differently, like, there's something different about this person, in a good way. They're not afraid. They actually care about me. And there was a trust and there was an intimacy built, so that when they began to just share what happened in their life, there was a listening that went on, because you had invited them, because they had just followed what Scripture said, and that God allowed them to cross your path, that God put you in their path for a purpose. That God says, I've got just the right person that can talk, and they got the right skills that you need, and you're going to have this problem and you don't even know about it yet, but I'm going to move somebody in to work alongside you who's going to be the perfect fit. That when that happens, they're going to be there to listen and going to get involved and help, and they're going to be the one that can help facilitate what I'm trying to do in your life. I'm placing them there on purpose. Francis of Assisi said it this way, and I love this quote. This is one of my most favorite quotes. He says this: share the gospel with everyone you meet, but only use words when necessary. Share the gospel with everyone you meet, but only use words when absolutely necessary. Because sharing the gospel isn't about you talking. It's about you listening and you serving. And those, when we get those right, the third step that we're going to talk about next week is easy. It's simple. It's natural. And it, in many cases, is going to provide the very perfect scenario that you've been looking for. But the problem is we've skipped steps one and two. And so this week, what I want us to do is, first, just go listen. Keep listening. Keep hearing what people are saying. Start allowing God's Spirit to make you sensitive to what's going on in the lives of people around you. Listen. Can we listen? Yeah. And then when there's an opportunity, say, what can I do to help? And then help pick their jaw up off the floor. As it bounces down. Did you just say what I think you said? Yeah. Listen and serve. Listen and serve. That's what evangelism is. That's what sharing your faith is. So this week, don't go preach. If you got, well, I got the perfect verse, man. I just got gonna nail him. No, you put that away. Leave your Bible at home. Again, I said at the beginning, this may sound backwards. It's like, he told me to go evangelize and leave my Bible at home. But yeah, for many of you, that's the best thing you can do. Go listen, go serve. But don't stop there. That as you're serving, just begin praying, okay, God, then help me with what's next, because there's an opening, there's a hunger, there's an intersection here that I could have missed. But I'm here. They're beginning to trust, and they're inviting me closer. So God, I'm here doing your work. And watch what God begins to do. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. And when we get it right, we go, man, this is natural. This is easy. This is what we were made to do. This is what we were built to do. But when we get it out of sequence, we're going to struggle. We're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. It's not going to work. We stress ourselves out. But God says, hey, I came to reach everyone. Need your help. So go listen. Go and serve. Can we do this?
Sure.
This is as practical as it gets. But here's the thing. Don't get all spiritual and say, well, I'll pray about that. No. Stop being lazy. Go work. Go serve. Go help. Go make some soup. Go make some cookies. Go pack boxes. Go help rake leaves. Go do something. And remember what the Bible says? Whatever you do to the least of these, who are you doing it for?
The Lord.
The Lord. Understand how it's all coming together? You're working for his kingdom. He said, I'm trying to save people. And when you do even small things in my name, you're working toward what I'm trying to get to. It all works together. So go listen. We go serve. And then come back next week and we'll learn what we need to do in the third step. And we just watch what God does. Let's stand. God, we are so grateful for the clarity of your word. That God, it is simple, but it's not easy. But it's clear. And so God, today, as we are putting this into practice, help us, Lord, to let our pride lessen, to let our assumptions lessen, to not discount anybody out of what you're trying to do. But God, give us that leading of your spirit that we go into situations that we begin to hear what you're doing and begin to look past our biases and begin to hear that there's a hunger there, that there's an opportunity. And God, give us the strength, give us the initiative to step up and to begin to serve. Because God, you came and you served us, that you served us in the most ultimate way, that you gave your life for a ransom for us. And God, we're grateful. God, that you've called us and said, you know what, I've already done the hard part. Now, just go and model that in the lives of others. And so, God, help us to realize that this is what being a Christian means, that I follow your example. That it's not going to church, but it's following your example, God. So, God, let us be aware of what's going on. And God, let us step up and begin to serve and then give you credit in advance for what you're going to do. Because it's for you, and it's your glory, and you're the one orchestrating it. In Jesus' name.